Thank you, Tiffany. I'm glad I'm under his wings. Amen. I'm glad it's forever. Good message and song for us this morning. We appreciate doing a good job on it. I want you to open your Bibles to the book of Ezekiel. I'm going to confess as pastor this morning, I'm going to bite off more than I can cover. So you better listen fast. And I want you to go to the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel chapter 39. Just open your Bible to the middle. If you hit the Psalms, go to your right. If you hit Isaiah, go to your right. If you hit Jeremiah, go to your right. If you keep going to your right, you're going to hit Ezekiel, amen? And we'd like for you to do that. Chapter 39 of Ezekiel. And kind of fits in with the current news today and the bad news that we're hearing. Maybe you haven't heard all the news. You did hear that Judge Ginsburg, that's the elderly lady on the Supreme Court, you did hear she died. And Hillary went to President Trump and asked if she could take Ginsburg's place. And he said, sure, if it's all right with the Undertaker, it's all right with me. Now, you folks understand that's fake news, don't you? All right. Thought I better clear myself. And by the way, about as fake as most of it. A whole lot of it fake today, that's for sure. Ezekiel chapter 39. We'll begin in verse 1. Therefore, thou son of man, prophesy against Gog and say, thus saith the Lord God. Behold, I'm against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. I'm not going to deal with this much, but you got Russia involved. You got a whole alignment of nations here involved in what's future predicted here. Said, I will turn thee back and have but the sixth part of thee and will cause thee to come up from the north parts and will bring thee upon the mountains of Israel. And I'll smite thy bow out of thy left hand and will cause thine arrows to fall out of thy right hand. Thou shalt fall upon the mountains of Israel, thou and all thy bands and the people that is with thee. I will give thee unto the ravenous birds of every sort and to the beast of the field to be devoured. Thou shalt fall upon the open field, for I have spoken it, saith the Lord God. I will send a fire on Magog and among them that dwell carelessly in the isles, and they shall know that I am the Lord. So will I make my holy name known in the midst of my people Israel, and I will not let them pollute my holy name any more. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, the Holy One in Israel. Then I want you to drop over and pick up verse 17 in the same chapter. And thou, son of man, thus saith the Lord God, speak unto every feathered fowl and to every beast of the field. Assemble yourselves and come, gather yourselves on every side to my sacrifice that I do sacrifice for you, even a great sacrifice upon the mountains of Israel, that you may eat flesh and drink blood. Now watch the top of the verse again. Speak unto every feathered fowl. I want to speak to you this morning on the subject, is it time to feed the birds? That's what we're reading here in the text. There's a time coming. There's going to be a great sacrifice and a great feast made for the birds. Sometimes we'll say, here's something, you know, and in a lighthearted way we say, that's for the birds. Well, there's coming a time, there's a bunch of stuff going to be given to the birds. And this text is prophetic, folks. This text is something that is going to happen. This is something yet future, but you and I see the storm clouds gathering. We're hearing the news and separating it the best we can. We understand we've gotten to a place nobody seems to know the way out of. It's perplexed, as it says in the book of Luke concerning the nations. There'll be a time they'll be perplexed, and that is the time. What it's saying is, and the text is, there's a great war ahead. Probably the greatest. Some folks and Bible students through the years have called it World War III. I remember as a 10-year-old boy riding in the back seat of a 47 Chevrolet that my neighbor had as we were coming back from a hospital, and I was hearing the adults talk. I was only 10 years old, 11 at the most, and I remember the men talking in the front seat, well, today Russia got the bomb and they exploded it, and they were talking about this war. They knew a little bit of Bible, not much, but they were talking about a time that World War III, and maybe you could call it that, but I think it might even be much bigger than that. There's a big war coming. It'll be a nuclear war. So how you know? Because I got a book that tells me about it. Here it is. You read in chapter 14 of Zechariah the effects of a nuclear war that's coming. It's a time that is an awful time. It's a time when a man's can be standing against a wall, and when the blast hits him, he don't even have time to fall. His skin, his flesh melts off of him, and his skeleton becomes petrified, and he's still standing there with just a skeleton. That's a nuclear war. That's what happened in Japan. That's what happened in Hiroshima. That's what happened in Nagasaki. And the truth is, what is described in Ezekiel chapter 36, 37, 38, 39, and by the way, you'd do real good to go home and read that. You say, I can't understand it. If it was important enough to you to have something to do with your paycheck, you could read it. You'd probably read it three times till you understood it. If you had some forms to fill out for Uncle Sam, you'd keep reading it till you understood it. You'd read the Bible, you'd get it out of it, and God's Holy Spirit will help you, but you got to want to first. You got to have a desire to, and it'd be a good thing for you to read. I don't know the timing of it, but it looks soon. Somebody says, well, what about the rapture? I sure hope it comes first. Got no guarantee, though. Bible students can argue about that. I'd like to think the Lord's going to call us out before the missiles start flying all over the place. I really, really like that, but I can't guarantee that. But I can tell you this, it's going to happen because the Bible says it's coming. It's coming. You know, the earliest war recorded happened in Mesopotamia, right over in the Middle East, where a lot of the fighting is going on right now. The earliest war recorded was in 2700 B.C. I've been talking about with a written record, where the Sumerians and the Elamites were fighting each other. And as they did, they ended the war and they carved it into a rock. And picture on the rock, look at me, not the little girl. She's just a little miserable. She's expressing it better than some of the rest of you. All right, I'm joking with you. They carved the results of the war in a rock. And the rock has a picture of a dead soldier with the birds eating him. Kind of interesting, the first recorded war. In the Bible, the first war was when Abraham rescued Lot, but I won't move on to that except to say there is a big war yet ahead. Now, this prophecy of our day got a message for you and I. And I can only touch on it a little bit, but let me say this as we look at it. To begin with, it's the biggest war yet, and I think it's closer. I've read and heard this week where experts are saying that we're closer to nuclear war right now than we were in 1962 when President Kennedy and Khrushchev faced off over the missile crisis in Cuba. They say we're closer now. I don't know, but it looks like it. And it is nuclear, and there's a list of the nations given in chapter 38. Flip back. I hope you hold your Bible open. Flip back to chapter 38. I may even have another verse or two for you in a minute out of these chapters. But in chapter 38, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land, Magog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. Very likely, the Meshach here is Moscow. Tubal may be one of the Russian cities of Tobolsky. And then look at all the crowd that joins in this. You recognize some of them. Look down into verse 5, Persia, that's Iran today. That name was only changed about 100 years ago. Ethiopia, Libya, we know about Libya. Gomer and all his bands, Togomar, all of this is argued about Germany and Turkey and all that business right mixed in there. But what we see is we see these nations gathering with one purpose in mind, and that's to come against Israel. You see, it's an amazing thing here. There's been a war between God and the devil from the beginning. And when God chose one nation out to produce the Messiah, Satan has hated that ever since. And the hatred today against Israel and against Christianity in America is a satanic hate. That's what it is. It's not natural. It's much above that. And then we see the list of nations here. Somebody says, where's the U.S.? I don't know, but I think we're in trouble. As I read the list, you have a group called the Young Lions. We may be one of those Young Lions in the list. I can't have time to read it all to you. For instance, England might be the old lion. They're represented by the lion, you know. And who would be the young lions if England's the old lion? Canada would be a young lion. America would be a young lion. Maybe Australia would be a young lion. And it mentions perhaps us, but I can't guarantee you the U.S. is listed in the Bible except to say this. It says, the wicked shall be cast into hell, and all nations that forget God. And America's in the business of doing its best to forget God right now. So yes, in that sense, we're in the Bible. Problem with the U.S. now is we're imploding, folks. We're imploding. It's like you take a straw and you suck on it hard enough, it implodes. The vacuum. We're about to destroy ourselves from within in America. And that is happening big time. We look at today and seeing in politics that power is worth more than saving the country. Personal gain is worth more than what is best for us Americans. And we're seeing that everywhere that we look. We're committing political suicide. A historian once said that all democracies commit suicide. And it appears that we're doing that. We've come to the place that just about anything goes to gain power. And tearing down our history is part of it. What you're seeing in the news, pulling statues down. You say, but those are Confederate statues. You ought to study a little bit of history behind it, especially the one on Robert E. Lee. He was a great Christian man and done all he could to reconcile the country following the Civil War. And if you just really study that thing out just a little bit, hey, by the way, Republicans, Democrats, Independents, it was Democrats that put the statues up to start with. Help yourself. You didn't like that, did you? Read a little history. Things have all got twisted and fouled around now. Perverted is what the word is, I guess. Everywhere that you look. And by the way, you say, well, slavery was wrong. Of course it is. It was wrong. It still is wrong. Hear me good. If you want to fight slavery, go where it's at today. It's all over the world. Go to the Sudan. Go to Chicago and deal with the sex trade slaves. You're not getting me, but I want you to understand something. You can still fight it today, and you ought to. And there's more slaves on planet Earth right now than there was in the cotton fields of Georgia and Alabama before the Civil War. Check your history. Check what's going on now. Some of you got such skeptical looks. I'm going to park here till you start looking like this. Check, and you can do this. Check out the words that were said in the President Lincoln, and Stephen Douglas debates. Some of you get an eye open. You ought to do it. I don't have time to teach you history this morning. But the truth is, you can fight slavery today. It was wrong then, it's wrong now, and the Civil War wasn't even over slavery to start with. It was over states' rights and all that other junk. You say, well, how you know it wasn't? Well, how about General Grant? Anybody know who General Grant was? Raise your hand, General Grant. I joke about him saying useless Grant, but that was not his name. Ulysses. Close to useless. Anyway, General Grant had slaves in his house while he led the Union Army in the Battle of the Civil War. And it was a gentleman's agreement when he and Lee at Appomattox Courthouse signed the papers to stop the war. And if you want to get mad at President Lincoln because he pardoned all the Confederate soldiers. Are you going to take the Lincoln Memorial down now that you've taken Robert E. Lee's statue down? How about Washington himself? President Washington? George Washington? Or Thomas Jefferson? You see how foolish America's got? Somebody, like I said the other day, is rubbing the puppies' noses together. Somebody's trying to divide the country. Somebody's trying to destroy America, trying to make it implode from within, while the big enemy is on the outside waiting to pounce. I saw one of those, and I know I may have said this, but I saw one of those animal documentaries. I like that sometimes. Sometimes the animals make more sense than humans. And I was watching one of those documentaries, and it had two deer bucks fighting each other. And a leopard all the time was slipping up. And directly he pounced and he got one of them. What were they doing? They were fighting each other. They were divided. He'd have never got them otherwise. They'd outrun him. America, we better wake up. There's a leopard about to pounce. There's a devil about to pounce. And we're committing suicide from the inside out. All right, here's a big war coming. It's yet ahead. It'll be a nuclear war. And the devastation that's described in these chapters could not have happened until the age where we had the nuclear weapons that are happening right now. Oh, it's a terrible thing. And then I look in this portion and I see that Israel is in this war. In fact, Israel is the target of many in this war. And their defeat, the scripture said, and I read it in the text, is going to happen on the mountains of Israel. That's where the dead is going to be. That's where the blast is going to take place. And Israel is in this. And now we're hearing news like from the Decaphiles. That's a kind of inside thing, so you know what I'm talking about. We're hearing that many of the troops from Russia and other places are massing now around the borders. And while everybody's attention is on the internal conflict in Syria, look out for crossing the border at the Golan Heights and moving in to Israel. All right, I'm still trying to teach you geography now, I guess. Anyway, Israel's in this war, and now a lot of things are developing. Look at it in chapter 39 and verse 14 with me. Verse 14 talks about, this is a devastating thing. And it says in verse 14, "And they shall sever out men of continual employment passing through the land to bury with the passengers those that remain upon the face of the earth to cleanse it. After the end of 7 months shall they search." Hey, when it's a pretty big funeral when it takes 7 months to bury everybody. And that's what it says. Men will have continual employment doing the burying. Look at it in verse 15. If you don't think it's nuclear, how about this? "And the passengers that pass through the land, when any man seeth a man's bone," one bone now, "a man's bone, then shall he set up a sign by it." He don't touch it. He sets up a sign. "Till the buriers have buried it in the valley of Hamon Gog." You know why they don't touch it? You know why they set a sign upside? It's radioactive. That's nuclear stuff we're dealing with, folks. That's what's going to happen on the mountains of Israel when these groups of nations make their move for this big war. It's going to happen. And if I didn't turn to it, but you can see there also where it says they're going to burn the weapons for 7 years. Bury the dead for 7 months. Burn the weapons for 7 years. And maybe that gives us a little clue to the length of the tribulation period with Israel. I don't know. But I'm just saying that is a big deal. A big war. Tremendous death. Now, I guess this is the good news. I say this, God is the winner of the war. You know, what happens to destroy those enemy is supernatural acts. You could read it over there and see. Now, how about chapter 38 and verse 22? Look at that with me. 38 and verse 22. "And I will plead against him," talking about the leader, Gog. "I'll plead against him with pestilence." That could be chemical warfare. That could be smallpox, that could be all kind of disease, "with pestilence and with blood. And watch this, I will rain upon him and upon his bands and upon his many people that are with him an overflowing rain and great hailstones, fire and brimstone." That's supernatural acts of God coming out of the sky on the enemy armies. destroying them. That's the Bible. I didn't write it, folks. There it is. It's going to happen because God said so. Hailstones. I've talked about that to you many times before, but they recorded in the nuclear test on the island, the Bikini Islands, after World War II, when America was still testing the atom bombs, even on the old ships and all. How they didn't realize it, but they created great big 50 and 100-pound hailstones, came out of the atmosphere after they exploded the bomb, and did more damage to the metal of the ship than the bomb did. Nuclear is what I'm saying. That it is there, but it's going to be supernatural. Fire and brimstone, supernatural. Sodom and Gomorrah got a taste of it. Yeah, and it's going to happen from God. What's his purpose? His purpose is very, very clear. And by the way, let me just drop this in. God has done supernatural things in wars before. Just check your history, 1812, when England come back to defeat America again, God defeated them. Tornadoes, storms. All of it. Even the English admitted it when they retreated. It had to be God picking up cannons and floating them around like they're made out of paper. All right, all right. Brother, we be teaching history in Christian school?
Yes, sir.
Y'all want to enroll in his class, see him after class. He knows what I'm talking about. Truth. No, God can intervene. In 1967, in the Six-Day War in Israel, God intervened. You can get all kind of written testimony about it. Amazing thing. What's his purpose? His purpose is in verse 23. Look at it here in verse 23. And the heathen shall know that the house of Israel went into captivity for their iniquity because they trespassed against me. Therefore I hid my face from them and gave them into the hand of their enemies. So they fell, they all by the sword. But he goes on down to say, they're going to know again in verse 25. Now I will bring again the captivity of Jacob, Israel. Have mercy upon them and the whole house of Israel, and will be jealous for my holy name. He goes on down to say, and the heathen will know that I am God. He's got a purpose. You know, today it is such a ridiculous thing. I read where all the evil that's coming, it's anti-God stuff. Transgender business is anti-God, anti-His word. It's a falsehood to start with. But I read where if you're in Canada now, you've got to be careful to address somebody by the proper pronoun that they think they are, or you can get arrested for it. That'll be in America soon. It's already in some of our colleges and our schools now that you've got to address that person by what it wants to be called, and I put the it in there. It's neither she nor he, it's a shim, right in the middle somewhere. All right, amen. But God's going to win this thing. He's going to win it. I don't know how it's going to turn out, how quick, folks. I may not be here, but then I might be here because it could happen tomorrow or next week. I don't know. I know one thing, there's no restraint left in the world like there used to be. See, Christianity had a spread around the world, and there was a good restraint. There was a good decency. There was a good morality that came. Even if they were not Christians, they were influenced by the Christian message. That's not true anymore. You know why we fear the little fat dictator in Korea? Because he has no restraint. I mean, he thought his position was threatened, so he killed his own family. Assassinated his own family. Do you think if he had the missiles America's got, if he had the power even Russia's got, you don't think he'd pull the trigger? He'd pull it just that quick. He'd push the button right now. The only reason he hadn't is he's not sure he's got enough. If we keep dilly-dallying around till he gets enough, it's coming. But you know what restrains us? Morality, compassion, Christianity. We don't want the collateral damage. We don't want young kids and mothers. We don't want to bomb them first and have all that dead of people that would love to escape him and they can't. That's what restrains us. But we are in a catch-22. We don't have an answer. If we mess around till he strikes first, we'll lose an American city or more and still have to do it. So it's a dilemma. Only God can intervene. And I think he is. I think he is. You know, what we should be learning, number one, we got a short time. We ought to be learning that the world system is hopeless. It doesn't have any answers. We ought to be learning that the only hope is Jesus. He is the only hope. He is the blessed hope that he'll come and catch his people out first before the worst of it, but he's the only answer. He is our blessed hope. In Revelation 19, though, he returns with an army from heaven, sets up his kingdom. And you know what I read over there? And again, read this before you take your afternoon nap. Revelation 19, read the last part of it. After the battle of Armageddon, the Lord calls the birds back. Just like they're called here in Ezekiel, in Revelation 19, he calls them again. Tells them to clean it up. So my title was not too far out. Is the birds about to be fed? Fed on the bodies of human beings? Yes, that's what the scripture says. So that's not a pretty sight. No, no, it's not. And you don't want to be here for that. You don't want to be here for that. Very first war ever recorded in history, pictured by a soldier being eaten by the vultures. And yet that's a prophetic picture for the end. Yes, it's going to get worse before it gets better. Let me ask you, are you ready? Have you learned anything? Do you understand your hope's not in this world? It's not in the stock market going up and down. It's not in going to the clinic and getting things fixed or another vitamin pill. It's not your hope. Your hope is to be right with God, to be born again in Jesus Christ, to have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You got that hope this morning? So I went down to Landmark and he scared me to death. Well, good, good, good. If it made some reaction with you. But I'm telling you, God Almighty is going to win. There's a balancing up time. He's going to fix things. Only he can fix things. I remember I just hadn't been saved long. Wife and I had gotten married. I'd give up my hot rod track racing. And I had taken a regular job, service job. And I remember once a month at least, sometime two times, I would go by a certain place to do the service. That place was a children's home. And the children were unique in a sense. They were deformed. They were handicapped. Most of it was birth defects. Some of it was from disease. Many of those kids had clear minds. Some of them didn't. But it was my job to go around through that building once a month. I'd spend an hour, sometimes 2 hours there. And my heart would just go out to seeing those kids. Seeing how well they were doing in spite of the great handicap. I'm talking about little twisted limbs and bodies, and some of them could walk some in a cripple-like way. And I remember they had one of the young men that could walk, but he had deformity. And they had him as the one that took care of the keys to certain doors that I had to get into. And I remember how he enjoyed that he could do something like that, that he could take the serviceman around and open a door. Let me in here. Let me in there. And because of being on the schedule, sometime in my mind, I would think, I wish he'd let me have those keys. I could get this done. I could get this door open. I could be. And then I rebuked myself. And I thought, this is a big deal. He likes this. He's doing something. And except by the grace of God, our roles could be reversed. And then I had this thought. And so I went there. I always planned it, if I could, the last job of the day so I didn't have to rush it. And I often thought, and I hadn't been saved long, didn't know the Bible very well yet, but I often thought, somebody wants to
think about God coming back, he's going to balance this up. One day the cripple will walk. One day the mental retarded will be cured. One day, by the grace of God, it's going to balance out. When Jesus sets up his kingdom, yes, everything's going to be right. It may get worse, but it's going to get better. And when it gets better, there's going to be a new heavens, and there's going to be a new earth coming down from God out of heaven, and everything's going to be fixed. When my champion returns, he's going to do what nobody else can do. He's going to fix it, brother. He's going to fix it. Has he fixed it in your soul yet? Have you invited him in? Have you let him be your Savior? I don't matter what the world paints up out there, real or fake news, Jesus is good news. He is good news. And he wants to save your soul. And he'll save it this morning, young person. Mom, Dad, Grandpa, he'll save your soul today. And in balancing up time, you'll be on the right side. Would you come receive him this morning? Let him be your Savior. I pray you will. Let's bow our heads. How many of you can say, preacher, I know what you're talking about. World has no hope. Our hope is in Jesus. I know him. He's my Savior. Can you say that by the uplifted hand this morning? Thank you. So many hands. Are you here today and you say, preacher, think about me. I need to be saved. I've never received Christ. If I died today, I'd die lost. Would you slip that hand up for prayer anywhere in the back? Oh, God knows your heart. He knows where he lives there or not. He knows where you belong to him or not. I wouldn't embarrass you, but would you slip up your hand for prayer? Very well, let's stand, please. Father, we come to you in prayer. Lord, the old world's getting darker and darker. Evil seems to be winning. Pain is great on this old planet, Lord. Injustice is everywhere. But Father, I thank you that you're coming back to fix it. Lord, I pray today that anybody in the sound of my voice on radio or here in the building that don't know Jesus would bow their heart right now and ask him to be their Savior, the one that loved them and died for them and shed his blood for their sins. Bless the invitation, Father. We invite men and women to unashamedly step out and come forward to receive Christ, and we pray they would today. May your Spirit draw them, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing. I'm going to step to the front. If you'll come receive Christ, will you meet me here? Will you come as we sing?
Just as